What would you ask for? Say, Jesus called you and said, come. And when you got in front of him, he said, what do you want me to do for you? I'm sure we could think of all kinds of frivolous things, you know. Well, you could get me a better job. You could get me more money. You could get me, you could pay my debts. You could, I need a new car. You could get my kids straightened out a little bit. You could make my husband not argue with me quite as much. And we could go on and on and on with all kinds of things, you know. And some of them, I'm sure we don't consider frivolous. They are important issues. But this blind man, of course, very obviously he can't see what's going on around him. He hears the crowds. He's aware that somebody special is there. And so he says, I want to see. I want to know what's going on. And so in Mark's gospel, he uses symbolism every once in a while. And so when he says that he literally healed the young man at that moment, so that he was physically no longer blind. But something else also happened. There was this symbolic change, this symbolic blindness that was taken away. So he could see Jesus, who he is, what he stands for, what he came to do, what he came to accomplish. He could see that. And he followed him. It says he left his cloak. That is also a symbolism that he left everything that he owned, he left behind, and he went to Jesus and followed after him. You know, it's interesting that gospel stories for the last couple weeks, they talk about how Jesus was having a problem with his apostles, his disciples, understanding him. He was saying, we're going to Jerusalem. He said, there I'm going to be rejected. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to die. But I will rise again. Well, they didn't want to hear about it. They're pretty much like us. They don't want to hear about that tough stuff. You know, we had enough tough stuff to deal with ourselves. We don't want to have to deal with Jesus, too. And that's kind of the way they were. So they would change the subject. Instead of asking him, what are you talking about? What do you mean? Enlighten us, you know. Instead of doing that, it's kind of like they ignored the issue. Remember Peter, in one of his gospel stories, said, you know, hey, you can't talk like that. People are not going to be interested in what you have to say. It's not good PR. In the last couple of weeks, they were, instead of listening to what Jesus was saying to them, talking about that among each other, asking Jesus what he meant, they're talking about who's the most important among them or how they can get a place of power in the kingdom of God. So it was pretty much all about them. And I think in our own spiritual journeys, we tend to do that too. We kind of get pretty much involved in what we want, instead of what God has gifted us to do, what God has gifted us to be, what he has challenged us to be, which is his disciples. Symbolically, he left his cloak behind. He left everything to go after Jesus. So what do we do with the very important issues in our lives? You know, when people are really stressed, and they are too much today, what do they do? You know, instead of maybe sitting down with the Lord and saying, we need to talk, or hollering after him like the blind man did, he was persistent. That's what prayer is. It's a persistent call to the one that can do something about our situation, looking for an answer. But you don't ask once, say, well, you know, what am I supposed to do with this job that I have, which is very, very troubling? It's a rotten place to be. It's the people are anti-Christian. Anything I say or do is mocked and made fun of. How do we get out of a job like that? Or say, maybe you're having a very difficult time in a marriage. Instead of running away from it, as so often happens, and of course, I don't know all the circumstances that go into those difficulties. Only the couple themselves know that. But somewhere along the way, instead of running away from it, maybe we need to sit down with our Lord and confront the situation. If I don't know what to do in my life, say here I am 20, 30 years of age, and I'm saying, what am I supposed to be doing? And maybe sitting down with God and saying, you know, where do you want me to be? What am I supposed to be doing? Why am I so restless? Why can't I find peace in anything that I'm doing? And maybe ask God, trust him. But you know, he doesn't say to the blind man, he didn't call the blind man forward and say, you're healed, go away from me now. He didn't do that. He wanted the blind man to identify the issues that he had. Tell me what you want. So we're involved in this. So Jesus doesn't just come along and say, I know you have a problem, I'll take care of it. You go on with your life. We have to acknowledge the problem ourselves. He depends on us to identify, to deal with, and to work with him on issues. He doesn't come into our lives and say, oh, I see that's difficult. Let me change that for you. It would be nice if it did that way, but you know, God made us with intelligence, understanding, and free will. He gave that to us. It's a God-like gift. He made us in the image and likeness of himself, giving us intelligence and freedom. And he said, I expect you to use that. So it means we have to take time. It means we have to take time. Issues don't just pop up and I say, well, I can't handle that, go away, or run away from it, or whatever it may be, or drink, or whatever it means to get rid of the pain or the difficulty. Those are not real solutions, and we eventually find that out. But what we need to do is to, if we recognize a problem, an issue in our lives, or say a vocation, where am I supposed to be? What do you want me to do? Who am I supposed to marry? I can't find a suitable partner. Where do I find a partner? Do you want me to marry? What do you want me to do with my life? What do you want me to do? And Jesus says, you tell me what it is. You talk to me about what it is and let me help you. But you know, part of our issue is that in our culture, in our society, we used to have this very independent spirit. You know, I can solve my own problems. I don't need anybody's help. I will take care of it. I may mess up the rest of my life, but I will take care of it. Rather than going to somebody who has the wisdom and the love and the care, who could really guide us. So the blind man calls out. He recognized he had a problem. It wasn't just his physical blindness. He was searching for something more, some real meaning and understanding and a purpose in his life. And so when Jesus cured his physical blindness, he also cured the blindness of his soul, of his spirit. And so that he was able to see, not only physically see Christ, but also to see beyond that, to what he was trying to do, that he came as Savior. He came to bring forgiveness and peace to people. He probably grasped better at that moment what Jesus meant when he said he had to suffer and die and rise again than his own apostles did. Because somehow he was able to ask Jesus, I want to see. I want to understand. And if we could do that more in our own lives, it means we have to humble ourselves. You know, sometimes that's not the easiest thing in the world to do because we do have this sense that I can take care of it or I will take care of it. But when we recognize issues that are sometimes beyond our control, beyond our management, We need to go to the one who can help. It's like people who suffer from addictions. You know, the 12-step programs that they talk about so much, how extremely helpful they are, and one of the most important things in that whole process is that they know that they depend on their God for every moment of their lives. And they remind themselves day after day after day, hour after hour after hour, I need my Lord. I am sober because my Lord is with me to help me. I'm drug-free because my Lord is with me to help me. I'm able to turn the porn off my computer because I believe the Lord is there to help me. Whatever it may be, those struggles that people have in our world today, we talked about the difficulties in marriage. Well, society no longer supports marriage as we understand traditional marriage. So you have to find the support somewhere else. Where do you find it? You look to your family. You look to close friends who have values similar to yours. But do we ever sit down and say, my Lord, I want to see. I want to see what I have to change to help make this work. What do we need to do to help this so that we can have a marriage that is stable and permanent and loving and good and helpful and healthy and life-giving and all of these things? What do I need to do? So the blind man humbled himself. He probably felt he had nothing to lose. The way he survived was by begging. And so when Jesus was in the area, he heard about him, I'm sure. So he said, Son of David, help me. So when Jesus did call him, he said, tell me what you want. What do you want me to do for you? So when you go to our Lord, what do you say? What do you want, when the Lord says to you, what do you want me to do? As I mentioned, we can think of all kinds of grief, crazy, frivolous things that are very temporary, very passive. But what would you say? What would you say? And he would probably grant it.